God gives us experiences throughout our lifetime. Many things we will go through. Some of them very pleasant. I'll say in my short time on earth, there's been many things that I have loved to have gone through. Then there's other things where you're going, okay, God, I can learn the lesson from this any time now and be over with it. Okay, yeah, thanks. Just hurry that up, please. And I compare it to God giving us food to make us stronger. You see, sometimes what God uses to teach us is very pleasant. You love it. It's easy. I love the easy lessons. But a lot of times I find that the harder ones are the ones that stick with me the most. It seems almost every time that I'm teaching, I relate an experience of something bad that happened to me. But it's what's had the most profound effect. And you see, God has put many experiences in our path. But it's our choice whether or not we're going to have them be of good effect for us. If we're going to choose to grow from them. And the one thing I want to point out to you, very simply, is that God still has our best intentions in mind. Whether it seems like it or not, God has our best intentions in mind. But like I said, we often forget that because we tend to think about, well, how do I feel at the moment? What is good for me at this moment in time? And so we don't always believe that. We don't always believe that God has our best intentions. And you may say, no, I truly believe that. I do believe He has my best intentions in mind. If we truly believe that, it will come out in the way that we live and in the attitudes that we have. So what I want to do is talk about four attitudes that we should have, four things that we should know that we should do when we are faced with trials of any kind. Now, one of our text verses, Ezekiel 2:8. I'll read it again. And I have King James Version, going back even more in time. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. It's God saying, eat what I give you. In this case, He gave Ezekiel a literal roll and Ezekiel had to literally ingest it. I don't know if it was a bread roll or if it was a roll of a scroll. I don't know that one offhand, but maybe Pastor would know. But either way, He said, I'm giving this to you. Eat it. Same thing with many experiences. I'm giving this to you. Eat it. Now, first thing I want you to notice is that God didn't ask Ezekiel's opinion on whether he liked it or not. He didn't say, well, you know, if you want to, you can eat this. You can have this. He said, eat what I give you. Very simple. And I think a lot of times our personal opinion gets in the way. We just want to eat what we like. We want the experiences that we like. But let's leave out those ones we don't like. But anyway, the first thing I want to mention is the term, open your mouth. And one of the scriptures I love that also says this, and you can look it up later, but it's Psalm 81:10. God is speaking to the nation of Israel and He says, I am the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. I think that's so awesome that we are to have that kind of attitude towards God that says, you know what? I'm ready. Here it is. Feed me. And I think about this with a parent. If you had your kid just completely trust you like that, you'd say, wow, that's awesome. My kid is so good. They just, whatever I give them, there it is. They just take it. Amazing. And now, I'm going to tell you a humorous story. Hopefully you like this. Ortmans, I apologize. You've probably heard this a million times. But hopefully you still enjoy it. And for the youth group, a lot of you guys have heard this, but that's okay. but it's my favorite example. A long time ago, with my old youth group, went to this place called Beaver Camp. I was one of the leaders. And we were coming back from the trip, went into this little store. A lot of youth group, this is sounding very familiar. And I like to try new things. And so I'm looking around at all the sodas. And I see this new stuff. I've never heard of it before, but it's called Vichy. V-I-C-H-Y. And I'm like, oh, I'll give it a shot. One thing I didn't do was look at the list of ingredients. And so, like, since I was only getting a 2-liter pop, I was the first one out. So I get it out there, I pull the cap off, and immediately I'm just like, oh, this is so nasty. Then I look at the list of ingredients. The thing had 3 ingredients. You know how ingredient number 1 is what's in it most? It contains mostly of? Ingredient number 1 was salt. Ingredient 2 was water. And then ingredient 3 is soda carbonation. So first off, I'm going, yeah, I don't even know why they'd sell that. But for some reason, they do. And apparently, since they're still in business, people buy it. But so I'm going, oh, this is nasty. But then I look inside the store and I go, you know what? We got about 12 people that need to try this. So one by one, these kids come out. And what I did is I put the thing to my mouth. I pretended I was drinking, but I just kept my lip like this. So, like this, and say, hey, you got to try this. This is awesome. So one by one. But last person out of the store is actually my best friend in the entire world. For those of you guys that know him, Rocco, he comes out. I love him to death. One of the most easiest going people you ever meet. He comes out and he has like 3 bags in his hand. So once again, hey, you got to try this. This stuff's awesome. And so he looks at it, looks around, sees all these bags in his hand, and what he did next actually kind of touched me. I thought it was pretty neat, which is why I still give this example today. But what he does is he leans forward, bends down, opens up his mouth, and goes, here, pour some in. He did regret trusting me after a minute, but but at the same time, that's what touched me about it. Because he trusted me as his friend, whatever I had to give him, he was willing to take. His mouth was open. He was saying, you know what? You're my friend. Here goes. Pour some in. Yeah, he's still my friend. That's when you know you're friends. But at the same time, that is the attitude we are to have towards God. God, I may not like what you're going to give me. It may taste bad, and I have no clue what's coming. But you know what? My mouth is open. I'm ready to receive whatever you got. And you see, one thing that's hard too, is there sometimes I've opened my mouth and God has said, okay, here's some really bad stuff. Oh, I don't like this. But now the thing is, if you've been struck with that, because God has allowed us all to hurt, if you've been struck with that, what are you going to do the next time? The next time, are you going to go, well, okay, a little bit. Or do you say, you know what? Even though it tasted bad last time, even though it hurt last time, here we go. That's the kind of attitude we are to have. Have an attitude of an open mouth. You know what? Whatever. I don't know what's coming, but I trust the one that is giving it to me. I trust the one that is allowing me to go through it. And so therefore, it doesn't even really have to be suffering that much in my eyes. Because I know it is all for a better purpose. And this reminds me of actually a song lyric, and this song's never been published, but it was one of the Circle C staff had written something about tough times that God puts you through. And I wish I remembered it all offhand, but the song was called Even This. And the first part was about someone losing their dreams. Then you had a second part, and it's a sensitive subject today, but about someone losing a loved one. And what happened, though, is the song. Both verses are from God's perspective. Then the chorus, I love this. I love this. I've said this to myself so many times, but I picture God saying this. Even this is orchestrated by me. Even this is in my timing. Even this will be good for you. And even this will show that I love you. And I think that is God's attitude in all these circumstances. Even this, as unfathomable as it may seem, even this is from the hand of God. And even this can eventually and will eventually be good for us, no matter what. I don't know what you've gone through, what you may even be going through. But I know that God is in control. And I know that we have to have an open mouth toward Him, because He's the one that feeds us with good things. And if we clamp up spiritually, we will never receive the blessings. So open your mouth wide. I will fill it. Next, we're going to go back in Ezekiel 2:8. And this is actually said before open your mouth. But He said, be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. And a lot of times, that's what kids like to do. Like I mentioned earlier, I don't like this. I'm not going to eat this. My father, my mother keep wanting me to eat this food. I don't like it. I'm going to do my own thing. And that's what we do with God. Or even if sometimes the kid will eat the food, but what they do is they grumble about it the entire time. I can't believe I'm doing this. But God's attitude toward it, He said, don't be rebellious. Just have the attitude about it. Like, I love Philippians 2:13. It says, do all things without murmuring or complaining. And parents, once again, how great would it be that your kid just takes this food, just accepts it with no complaining. They fully realize that it's for their own good, and they're willing to eat it because they know you have their best intentions in mind. How would that make you feel as a parent? Probably go, wow, my kid really loves me. My kid really trusts me. I can be proud of this kid right here. Let's look at the attitude that they have. Same thing. God says, do it without complaining. Do it without rebelling. Eat what I give you. And I want you to think about this. If we can go through hard times without complaining, it is a sign of spiritual maturity and a sign of God's empowerment in our lives. For example, I know we've read this a few times in the past couple weeks. Maybe God really has a message, but Philippians 4:11-13. It's Paul talking. And if I'm not mistaken, it's from a prison cell. But he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I don't know if Pastor said this from the pulpit before, but one thing that annoys me to death is people misquoting Philippians 4:13. Because they say, I can win this sports game because I can do all things through God which strengthens me. I can do whatever. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But you see, that's not the intent of the verse. The intent is that Paul was saying, I can go through anything. I can be hungry. I can be needy. I can even be full. I can have good things too. But I can be content no matter what I'm doing, no matter where I am. That is the power that he was talking about. In that verse, he wasn't talking about moving a mountain. He was saying, God's power helps me to be content no matter what happens. I think that is a huge sign of God's power in us. A huge sign of Paul's spiritual maturity. And I think that's what we need. Some spiritual maturity that just says, Lord, in whatever state I am, I will be content. I trust you. And so that's That's the idea. To not be rebellious or to complain. And actually, I love one book over. You can look at it if you want to. But Colossians 1:11. It says, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. Okay, now, it says, we're being strengthened with all might, according to His power. To do what? Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. He doesn't even want us to be empowered not just to endure it, but to endure it with joy. To me, that almost sounds insane. But to endure it with joy. That's when you really have to have faith. Okay, Lord, this really stinks right now, but you know what? Something awesome is coming out of this, so that's amazing. I can't wait to see the end of this, because this is going to be so cool. If you're going to put me through this, the end has to be phenomenal. That's the attitude we need to have, to suffer with joy. Eat that food that we got to eat, that spiritual food that we got to eat, and do it with joy. Hard thing to do. But it shows our spiritual maturity. It shows the power of God. Because I guarantee if the world sees someone that can suffer, that can have the world falling in on them, and they can still have joy, the world will notice. The world will notice that there is something about this person that I don't have. There's something humanly that's not human. That humanly is impossible. When they see that in us. But now, what if they see us complaining about the smallest things? What if they see us griping about our jobs? What if they see us griping maybe about school? What if they hear us griping about other people or little things that annoy us? Do you think they get the same impression? Do you think they get the impression that this person is powered of God? Or do they think, hey, this person is just as fallible as I am? Not that we're not fallible, but how do we demonstrate God's power when we incessantly complain about little things? And I'll share an experience with you. I was actually tempted to really, really complain Thursday morning. Because one of the things I do with my bus driving is I'm one of the guys that start the buses. And let me say, during the winter, 5 a.m., touching metal, because our keys are metal, is a really good time. I really enjoy it. No sarcasm there, of course. But anyway. And what happens on Thursday morning, stepping off one of them, the ice is uneven, and I fall, and like my ankle just starts throbbing. So now it's 5 a.m., it's like 5 degrees outside, my ankle's hurting, I'm still touching metal keys, and I'm going, man. And like what happened, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but sometimes if you get hurt, your body supplies blood to that one area and leaves the rest of you cold. And so I'm sitting out there, you know, it's a little after 5, and now my teeth just start, they're just chattering like, so now I'm just really cold. Now I can't stop my teeth from chattering uncontrollably. I'm like, man, why am I here? Why do I have to do this? Can I go home? And I wanted to go home. I'll admit to you, I did. And I was so tempted just to say, you know what, I'm hurt, I'm going to go home. But then God brought a thought to my mind. Hey, you know what? You could be in hell right now. You could be burning in flames for all eternity. And I thought, you know what? Okay, this ain't so bad. I'll finish the work day. But the idea is to do it without complaining. To just know that God is on the throne and that no matter what you go through, He has your best intentions in mind. Now, thirdly, and here I'm going to get on my soapbox for a minute, and there's other scriptures that talk about this. I don't know if any of you guys remember, but last year I spoke on spiritual exercises, and there's other verses that talk about growing in Christ. And you see, one attitude we need to have about eating what God gives us is we need to know that spiritual strength, spiritual maturity takes time. See, I think a lot of us like to have what they call, or what I would call, a Popeye mentality of spirituality. That all of a sudden we're going to whip out some spiritual spinach. We're going to go to maybe an event of some sort, or a retreat of some sort. And while we're there, this can of spiritual spinach is going to pop open. We eat it, and then all of a sudden, we're Superman. And then we're going to go out and we're going to be strong for the rest of our lives. But you see, one thing about the Popeye cartoons is that by the next Popeye cartoon, Popeye was always weak again. And you see, those things can empower you for a moment. But what keeps you strong is steady eating, steady dieting, going to God's Word every day, learning from God every day, every moment, all the time, as much as possible. We need to have this attitude that is not won in a moment of time. That if we are going to be strong in God's kingdom, spiritually mature, it takes work, hard work, lots of time. Lots of pain, a lot of time, lots of suffering. We have to eat our meals, even if we don't like them, and we got to do it consistently, taking it in. And then eventually, we grow strong. Eventually, we mature. We need to have that attitude that is not done in a moment's time. We need to have that attitude that says, you know what? I am going all the way. I am going to, however long this race takes, that's as far as we're going. I am never giving up. I am going to constantly eat. And I want to say something about maybe retreats or something offhand. We wouldn't do that in normal life. In normal life, you don't eat one meal on Sunday and then starve yourself the rest of the week and then say, oh, here, it's Sunday again. Let me eat. It's insane. We'd starve to death. But yet we attempt to do the same thing spiritually. We not only attempt, but sometimes do go a day, maybe days, some people go weeks without a spiritual meal. How do you expect to be spiritually strong if you're not eating your meals? And that's the thing. The thing is, we have to remember that it's a day by day thing. We need to have that attitude that we are going to grow and that whatever God is teaching us, we're going to take our lessons, sometimes slow, but we're going to take our lessons all the way through. We're going to see them through to the end. That's the attitude. To know that it takes time. I want you to think about that. It takes time. Never forget that. There's so many times God has had me wait. God has had me wait. I want to be the strongest Christian right now. I remember the first time I prayed for patience. That's always a fun thing. And I just remember I literally did think that I was going to wake up the next morning and all of a sudden have patience. I was very young Christian at the time. Man, boy, once again was I in for a world of surprise. But you know what? By God's grace, I've learned those lessons well. By God's grace, He's allowed me to grow. And one thing I was thinking about, remember I told you before that it seems like every time I teach, I feel like I have an experience of something bad that has happened to me. And during this past week, I was thinking about it. Well, most of the time when people come to me with troubles, I can say, yeah, I had something that related to that. It seems like I have one for everything. And and I'm kind of going, wow, how did this happen? Because one thing I'm thankful for is that with Christ, while it's been troublesome, at the same time I've just kind of, okay, God's on the throne, whatever. And so I haven't felt like it's fazed me that much. But I look back and I'm like, yeah, I've gone through a lot. How'd that happen? No, but you eat the meals. And before you know it, you're strong. I don't know if I'm going to call myself strong, but I'll say I'm stronger than I was. How's that? Wouldn't want to brag about being spiritually strong. But the idea is that we do it. We let it take time. We learn our lessons. And we watch the results down the road. So think about that. Remember, that's one of our attitudes. Know that it takes time. And then the last one. This is the one that really, really gets me. Know this. Tons of scriptures talk about God's mercy. God's mercy. God's mercy. And one of the coolest things about God feeding us is that He actually does not have to. Who says, besides the fact that He chooses to do it Himself, that God has to take care of us? I'll love it that God has let people starve. It happens. Even physically, it happens. God is not required to do anything. We sinned against Him. We violated His perfect law. He doesn't owe us a thing. The only thing He owes us is eternity in hell. But yet we complain when we don't have the smallest of comforts. When we forget that it is His mercy. Every day, every second, is the reason why we're even still alive. For those of us that are saved, is the reason we're saved, is because of God's mercy. We need to remember that God does not owe us these meals. He does not owe us to grow spiritually. He doesn't even owe us to be alive. But we need to remember that. We need to think about that. Like I told you about Thursday morning with the bus. I could have been in hell. I think if I wouldn't have got saved when I did, I probably would have died and been in hell. No matter what you're going through here on earth, I guarantee you, it is not worse than hell. So no matter what you're going through, it ends eventually. Even if from now, I'm 31 now, even if I lived to be 120 and suffered the entire time, it would still be just a little blip on the screen when compared to an eternity in hell. And this is what I'm saved from. This is what God, in His mercy, even though He didn't have to, has done. And we forget that. We forget what we are given. And we don't like the food, the spiritual food that God would have us to eat. Because we get spoiled and think we should have the best. Think it is our given right to have everything, but it's not. God doesn't have to do it. And the sooner we remember that, the sooner we think about that, in every circumstance we go through, the better off we'll be. I think about this. A parent, by law, does have to provide for their child. But what if that parent chose not to? It's happened many times. The parent does not always, you would say, have to give their children food. They can walk away. It's happened many times. Same way with God. He's not obligated. He's not obligated. And I think the fact with parents that the fact that they're there should make them trustworthy. Because they don't have to be there, but they are. So that says something right there. Same thing. God does not have to be there, but He is. Mercy. Mercy. Remember mercy. I am always under mercy. No matter what. Do you think that a God that gave Himself to save you from hell is just going to all of a sudden abandon you when time gets tough? That He's playing this big practical joke on you? That He'll save you up until this point, make you think that He's really on the throne, He's really in control, and then all of a sudden stop at a certain point and say, nah, just kidding. It's not going to happen. He's still there. And He is still in control. And a lot of times we like to think we earn favor with Him. Maybe by reading His Word, or praying, or doing His work. But not so. Everything we get is out of mercy. Please remember that. It is God's mercy. So in review, my 4 points. 1, open your mouth. Have a spirit of expectancy. Believe God. 2, to not be rebellious or complain. 3, remember that spiritual growth takes time. And 4, know that God does not have to give you anything, and that anything we have is because of His mercy.